BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass with Pampa Mud Pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and back to the bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Some point in the evening, it's a classic tune, especially when they're live in Albany, New York.
Yeah! Cheap pop.
Anyway, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented in part by PWMania.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin', joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
My night is made on so many levels.
And filling in for the Aussie, the Canadian, Omega.
Hey, you're an asshole on Mondays, too.
Damn right. So, we had 3 hours of Monday Night Raw tonight.
We did.
Well, they had 3 hours.
They had
We had two and a half.
We were a little busy.
Yeah. There was that stretch of time where we just, you know, interviewed Edge. But anyway.
Yeah.
Where should we begin? We should begin at the start of the show, and it opened with CM Punk seated in a chair with Paul Heyman. Heyman said the show would not begin until justice was served. He pointed out to the screen, to everyone, the footage from last week's main event, and, well, it's all the referee counting John Cena for the victory. Heyman said WWE's are all witnesses to a grand injustice. And then he asked for Brad Maddox to come to the ring to apologize to the WWE champion, admit his mistake, tender his resignation. Cole noted during this that Maddox made a bad call in the main event. Well, I think everyone realized that. But
yeah.
Yeah. He confessed he made a mistake. It was my first main event match. I was nervous. He said he should have checked the ropes, and he apologized. Heyman said Maddox should follow up by resigning. The fans rallied behind Maddox. He said, I do apologize, but I don't feel, which was interrupted by CM Punk. Punk said Maddox embarrassed himself and the WWE champion on his show. Punk questioned how Maddox could look at himself in the mirror and pretend to be a man. Maddox said that when Raw expanded 3 hours, AJ called him and said they need more officials. So this allowed Paul Heyman to go, he's a scab, he's a rookie, he's a replacement referee, and then, well, which was funny, he brought out a sleeping mask with WWE and NFL logos on it.
Nice little shot there. Yeah.
Be a star, by the way.
Be a star. Oh. CM Punk said that if AJ was going to make a decision, she would come out here and fire Mannix. This brought out AJ, who she told to go to the back, came in and said he assumed she was there to change the finish. She said that when you assume, it makes out an ass out of you and me. Never heard that line before.
Yeah, somewhere. I forget who said it.
I can't remember. She said she wasn't going to let them take her hostage. And she asked, who in the hell do you think you are? Punk came back saying he's the WWE champion. He said he's the reason AJ collects a paycheck, and all the fans were in the building. Punk says he knows why there's so much hostility between him and AJ and wanted to show everyone. And then we got footage of the proposal.
Yes, the what the fuck moment of the night goes to Paul Heyman.
Well, we didn't get there. This is the proposal.
Well, no.
Go ahead.
No, that's a premature what the fuck moment of the night.
Yeah, it's premature. You need to wait a second. This was the AJ proposing to Punk. Punk looked down at AJ and laughed. He mentioned having hundreds of text messages and voicemail that AJ left him. He continued to mock her. He told AJ to let everyone know how intimate they were behind closed doors. Let everyone know that I'm the reason there's a little skip in your step. Punk said, tell him I'm the best in the world. Heyman kind of interrupted Punk, you know, talked about the politics. He mentioned in his DVD and told him how he would handle this. And then Heyman says, he gets down on one knee and proposes, saying, marry me, AJ. He told her that they could top power couples like Brad and Angelina, Bill and Hillary, and even Triple H and Stephanie.
Nobody tops that power couple, sorry.
No. Heyman said that they would be the most powerful couple in sports entertainment. He said he could come with all the ideas and she could take credit. He says he likes women who are younger, young, dumb, uninhibited, and ambitious. Heyman held his arms open and, well, AJ smiled and then slapped him right across the face.
To which I actually wanted her to. Oh, yeah, by the way, Daniel, just saying.
So.
Where was that, Jay, when Vicky was screaming at her?
No kidding.
That's a good question.
I guess she got her spine back. Thank you, WWE, for giving her a spine again.
Heyman was hysterical.
Heyman was on his game tonight.
Oh, he was awesome.
He really was on his game tonight.
Smartest move they made was bringing him back. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. It really was.
Oh, yeah. Any Raw that opens up with CM Punk and Heyman holding microphones, you know it's going to start good.
Yeah. And it only got better.
Oh, did it. Backstage, we had Mannix getting a pep talk from the other referee. When AJ, appeared, Mannix said he would never make the mistake again. AJ said that will never happen again because you will personally see to it that you never work in this business again. She said she doesn't like cleaning up messes, and she said she put him in the main event, and he made her look like an idiot. He said sorry, and she was just looking out there. But then we had our first matchup of the evening, Dolph Ziggler taking on Kofi Kingston. Before the match began, he had R-Truth come down with popcorn and a drink, and he was feeding it to Little Jimmy. Vicky taunted Little Jimmy. And then, Vicky got hit in the face with a soda.
Which was classic.
It really was. It was a fun little segment.
It's another good sign of a good Raw.
Yeah. R-Truth coming out. He sits down, he offers the popcorn to Little Jimmy, and then he pours a little bit of the drink, and then Vicky walks over and starts teasing him. And then everything goes to hell, and she gets splashed in the face with a drink. It's just, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah. But then we have the match, Ziggler and Kofi. Thoughts?
Great match.
Hell of a match. It's one of those matches where you know it has potential, but they never give it enough time. Well, they gave this one enough time, and it was a really good match.
Dolph Ziggler ended up beating Kofi Kingston after numerous near falls. Then, well, we had our latest adventures with Dr. Shelby and Daniel Bryan and Kane.
This is the what-the-fuck moment of the night for me.
In our first setup, they were at a diner.
No, it wasn't Kane. It was Gerald. Get it right.
Shelby told Bryan that he set up a role-playing situation for Bryan and Kane outside the work environment. Kane showed up wearing an apron and asked if he could take Bryan's order. Which made Daniel Bryan bust out laughing.
Him and everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah, we all lost it.
Yeah, we did. He ordered veggies and said he'd like a tag team partner who isn't a freak. And, well, Shelby said Kane is Gerald today. Which had Gerald say that they have a new cook, but the old cook was annoying, so he grabbed him by the goat face goatee, slammed him into the deep fryer, and then chopped him up in little pieces and sprinkled it all over every meal that he served.
To the horror of old ladies in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the old lady was priceless. I have to say that.
I like the line that capped it off, too.
Yeah.
So, yes, Gerald is...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just Kane in an apron with a little notepad for orders.
No, it's Kane in gimmick, including his wrestling attire.
In gimmick, in the mask.
In an apron.
In an apron.
It's like
this is the payoff for all the years he has been wrestling as the Big Red Machine.
I'm sure he hates this, and I know a lot of people hate this, but this, I didn't think they could top Friday. This topped Friday.
Well, yeah, tonight did kind of top Friday, but there was a better segment a little later in the show.
Yeah.
Yes. Up next, we had... Oh, by the way, they're allowing us to pick the name for Kane and Daniel Bryan tonight.
And they didn't include any of your buddies. I'm most upset.
I am, too.
By allowing us, I mean, it's three answers that, you know, they picked for us, and then one got inexplicably changed somewhere in the middle of the show.
Up next, primetime players took on Santino Marella and Zack Ryder. Clearly everyone enjoyed this matchup.
I think in the annals of WWE history, this match will go down as it happened.
Yeah. Primetime players won.
Yeah, it was a match. I mean,
At this point, we had a little thing backstage where they showed there's a special guest tonight for Monday Night Raw. And that guest was the one, the only, the hardcore legend, Mick Foley. Foley said he came to Raw not as a legend, but as a caring member of the WWE universe. He said he sees things on Raw that sometimes move and inspire him. And then he talked about the emergence of CM Punk. Foley said that the reaction was very telling when they booed. Foley said that Punk knew he taught people to stand up for themselves, gave a voice to the voiceless, and he was interrupted by CM Punk at this point. And what was the, you know, probably... Wait. No, that's later in the show. Punk told Foley. No, because Punk came out like how many times tonight? Three?
I think. Pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway, Punk told Foley not to grandstand in front of people. He said that if he has something to say, he should say it to his face. Punk said Foley is trying to stay relevant and asked if he was really was there because he's, you know, he's selling a kid's book. Foley talked about he's not here for that. He recalled sending Punk a text the night he won the WWE Championship. He said that Punk responded 2 minutes later saying that it meant a lot coming from him. Foley said he's bothered by Punk's actions and his association with Paul Heyman. Punk turned to the crowd and said he doesn't need their help. He said they should grab and well, chastise the fans. Foley said he was a Paul Heyman guy. He said Heyman can get you a certain way, but you have to make the journey yourself. Foley said he stopped listening to Heyman and made his own decisions. Basically, what this boiled down to was from an intense promo from CM Punk and Mick Foley, where to make himself, to have that, you know, CM Punk's listing off statistics, how he's 309 days and 310, that he needs the moment, like Mick Foley had when he went into Hell in a Cell. He talked about how that match made his career, and also shortened at the same time. But as we were talking, people remember moments, not, you know, statistics.
Yeah.
Because Foley brought up, you know, after CM Punk listed off the number of days he was WWE champion, Foley was champion 29 days in total.
Last time I paid attention to stats was the Honk-O-Meter.
Yes. He asked, do you want to be a statistic or a legend? Foley asked while getting, you know, into CM Punk's face. Foley said AJ allowed him to come out here and ask about the Hell in a Cell match. Foley said that Cena had elbow surgery, but he should be ready for a Cell, and he said Punk gets to make his decision and announce it to Cena's face. He told him to think good and hard while he makes his decision, and then he said, have a nice day. Great segment.
This was segment, one of the segments of the night. I mean, it's just, you see Foley and Punk in the ring, and it's, they've got mics. It's like, money.
There are some weeks where Foley's not on his game. This week, he was on his game.
Oh, God, he was fantastic.
What do you think, Omega?
Couldn't say it any better. I mean, it's CM Punk and Mick Foley in the ring at the same time with microphones. If they had gotten it wrong, then everyone in that company needs to be fired. There shouldn't be any way that goes wrong.
Up next, we had The Miz versus Ryback in a non-title match. Shock of shocks, Ryback won.
No.
The most notable thing was an idiot fan ran into the ring.
Why would you do that in a Ryback match?
I don't know.
The man is most likely going to eat you.
Yeah, don't do that, y'all. It's just stupid.
Yeah. Seriously, stick to soda when you go to a WWE event.
Yes, Ryback won. And then we had our next visit with Dr. Shelby Gerald and Daniel Bryan.
I can't believe that Dr. Shelby is making us go through with this. Sitting here until we work out our issues. It's impossible.
I agree. Kane and Daniel Bryan can never be friends.
It's too bad, really. I mean, we destroyed 8 men last Friday night. Did you hear them scream in pain when we beat them with those chairs?
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yes.
Hit one, you'd be like, ow! Then you hit another one, and ow! You hit another guy, don't!
Yes!
Please!
Yes.
Oh, God!
Yes!
Oh. Yes! Ow! Yes! No! Yes! Ow! Yes! Ow! 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 Ow!
I'll have exactly what they're having.
This is where I lost it. Like, legit lost it. I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, that was absolutely priceless.
And Mae Young at the end, that was just like...
I never expected that.
The creme de la creme, just the perfect little touch.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So what is going on in this football game?
There was some sort of, I guess a touchdown that almost was picked off or something.
Well, I can't tell if they're restarting the game or what they're doing.
Ay, football people.
Shut up.
Sorry, I thought it was a wrestling show.
Anyway, continue. My bad.
That's, that's odd. Anyway. We had backstage, AJ told the referees that they are the backbone of the company. She looked at Brad Maddox and said, "Everyone makes mistakes." She told him to go out and have a good rest of the show, and this brought in Otunga, Del Rio, and Ricardo. They've all been victims of the bro kick. So she booked them in a 6-man tag match. Which would feature Sheamus, Rey Mysterio, Sakara taking on Ricardo, Otunga, and Del Rio. And Ricardo took off his neck brace and said, "Arriba."
He was so cute!
So yes, then we had Wade Barrett versus Tyson Kidd.
I hate that finisher.
He can take out a horse with that.
I don't care what he can take out. It's another strike finisher, and it just doesn't seem like an actual wrestling move.
It's better than an over-the-shoulder finisher.
Well, Wasteland was kind of a lame-looking move to begin with. No, but, whatever happened to just a plain old power bomb?
No, that's called a spine buster. That's what I forgot to mention. During the Ryback match, Ryback hit a power bomb and Cole called it a spine buster.
I thought I heard a power bomb called as a power bomb. Did he hit two power bombs?
No, JR corrected him. And then he called it on the replay as a power bomb. But on the real thing, he called it a,
spine buster.
Wait, Seattle won?
Yeah, they called it a touchdown. Even though it was clearly an interception, they called it a touchdown.
Okay. Anyway, hi, Mace.
Hola.
Yes, Mace. Hello. Mace is here. And just in time, because we're going to talk about Jerry Lawler. Before we get into this segment, I'm not sure I like the fact that they had footage and pictures of the incident.
It was a bit disconcerting. You sort of felt almost dirty seeing those images on the screen.
It's kind of one thing to see the pictures of him being carried out in the arena. It's another entirely to see him on a gurney, white as a fucking sheet, with a oxygen mask over his face, and then one of them had somebody's hands on his chest doing CPR.
Yeah,
that
we know
was not
Yeah, we know he was clinically dead when he was getting CPR.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously those were probably taken with a cell phone, and whoever took them, that's on them that they took it, but that was really kind of uncalled for WWE to be showing that, just because it was a little disturbing.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder, I mean, how many cameras are really rolling when something like that happens? Because that's kind of disgusting.
Yeah. But the gist of it, he talked about his recovery and, you know, what he remembered, and that he will return when his doctors allow him. And he made one joke, saying, "One Raw went from 2 to 3 hours. I defy anyone to sit next to Michael Cole for 3 hours and not have a heart attack."
The dude's in good spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bazing!
Yeah. It doesn't feel like Michael Cole unless he's cracking a joke. It doesn't feel like Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You're flustered, I know.
I interviewed a Hall of Famer tonight. Shut up.
6-man tag team action. Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and Sheamus took on Del Rio, Otunga, and Rodriguez.
Ricardo was adorable. He gave himself his own intro.
It was also adorable when the match was announced.
Yeah.
And he ripped off the neck brace, started unbuttoning his shirt. Come on, let's go, Lima!
Should have come out in his Pinto, though.
Yes! I don't think they had it, though.
Could have rented one, like they do for Del Rio.
This is true.
I kind of wanted them to come out in the car together and have, like, Ricardo hanging out the top or something.
No, no, in the trunk.
Yes, in the trunk.
Still doing the introduction.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I should mention that Sheamus, Mysterio, and Sin Cara won. After the match, Sheamus hit the bro kick on Otunga.
I missed it. How many times did Sin Cara botch moves?
I'm not sure.
Okay, how many times was a mask pull botched?
Once.
Ooh, that's once too many.
Supposedly Sin Cara actually got unmasked for a moment.
He did.
Supposedly there's a picture.
Yeah, somebody has proof of it.
I've been away for the last hour and a bit.
Then scroll up in our little chat. There's a picture of it. Anyway, simply put, we go back to the diner.
Gentlemen, you have made tremendous progress today.
Now for one final coup de grace. One final piece of identity therapy. Waitress?
Your pasta, sir. And your salad.
I want you each to take one bite. To feel how the other feels. Walk a mile in his shoes. What do you say? One bite.
At this point, Kane is sniffing the lettuce. And then Daniel Bryan, Kane eats it, and then Daniel Bryan blows on his meatball and then attempts to eat it.
Kane, how do you feel? Daniel, how do you feel?
It wasn't as bad as I thought.
Daniel, hold up. Think happy thoughts, Daniel. Daniel, no. 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 No.
He's gonna. He's gonna do it.
No.
Oh. There he goes. He's gonna puke.
And the Sheldon's left.
The shrug from Kane before asking for the check was like, eh, I'm happy. Check.
Yeah. Check, please. I'm good.
Kane acting casually alone is hysterical.
Go ahead. Sound like you had a point.
They're all good.
Oh, I was just going to say, I didn't like this one as much, and it actually kind of felt a little too childish.
Well, after you get, you know, you have Harry Met Sally, or Sleepless in Seattle.
Daniel Bryan just faked an orgasm.
Yeah, you can't really top that.
Kane and Daniel Bryan both just faked an orgasm on national television. How the fuck do you top that? By the way, I know a couple fangirls that will be very happy.
Now we got the voting for the team name, and Team Hell No won.
Anger Buddies.
God.
Anger Buddies is better. Hell No is acceptable. And fuck, a lot better than the other three options they were giving us when they first started this poll.
What were the ones before the when they started the
it
poll?
It was Team Teamwork, Team Friendship,
and Team Hell No.
No, Hell No wasn't. Hell No wasn't in the original.
Yeah, Hell No was. Yes, it was.
Yeah, Hell.
Was
yeah,
the original
Hell No
lineup.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought it was three very pacifistic names. Oh well, the right one won, even if it isn't as good.
After the voting, Kane and Daniel Bryan were attacked by Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. After the attack, they went up onto the stage. Rhodes said it was a waste of time to talk real tag team names. He introduced himself and Sandow as Team Rhodes Scholars.
Awesome name.
That works.
Yep, no complaints.
Sandow said Kane and Bryan now finally have a reason to actually be angry. It's like we have a feud in the making.
I'm okay with this.
We've got another tag team. What the fuck is going on here?
They made the division completely relevant by putting the belts on Kane and Daniel Bryan. That's what happened, and now we're getting tag team score.
But it just seems like in the last 2 months, it's like WWE has been harvesting tag teams like in a field and somewhere, and just now picked the time to harvest them all.
Well, I mean, if you
wait,
look
wait.
At the
you mean we might actually have enough tag teams to actually, you know, create a division? I think they called it once upon a time.
Oh my
the
god!
Tag team division.
What's that? What's a tag team division?
I don't know.
But I don't know. But I think we might see one.
Up next, we have Eve and Beth Phoenix take on Alicia Fox, who's now babyface again, and Layla. Beth Phoenix and Eve won. After the match, Caitlyn limped onto the stage. She said she couldn't see her attacker at Night Champions, but she could see her hair. She said the diva who attacked her at Night Champions was blonde. Eve acted shocked and pointed the finger at Beth, who said she didn't do anything. Eve kicked Beth and dropped her with a neck breaker.
Yeah, the attacker was blonde. Okay, so it was 99% of the Divas division.
Poor Beth.
She gets to go out jobbing like a bitch.
Which seems so wrong.
Up
next. WWE, you expect respect?
Huh. Yeah.
I know, but Beth is so awesome. I don't...
She's been the only reliable one in that division for so long. She deserves to go out with some dignity.
And you think of the way Beth started in the company, and you look at where she is now, and it's just a travesty what they've done to her.
Yeah, anyway. It is.
At least her gimmick wasn't farting.
True.
Thank God for that.
And they're not calling her fat on her way out, so. She's not Piggy.
Be a star.
She's not Piggy James, and be a star. Brutus Clay took on Tensai. Don't ask me why they booked this match, but they did.
They booked this match for somebody to come back.
And that would be the Big Show. He walked out and punched Tensai and knocked him out.
Which is the first win Tensai's had in a long time.
Clay, you know, ran right into a punch from the Big Show, and they were both laid out. And apparently on SmackDown we're getting Randy Orton and Big Show.
Random,
yeah. Then we got our final segment of the evening. John Cena came down to the ring with his arm in a sling.
Want everyone to realize that our main event for the night was Brutus Clay versus Tensai.
Oh, God.
And we all cried.
He talked about his injury. He said he was there with mixed emotions, as always. He said he wasn't supposed to be there, but with his future in question, he wanted to personally thank the fans. Cena says he knows, quote unquote, those guys aren't going to like it, but he wanted to thank the fans for their help with the Susan G. Coleman Foundation. Cena then said the people behind the charity are overwhelmed by the support of the WWE Universe. He then apologized to the referees, Chad Patton and Brad Maddox. He said Punk is a man who says he speaks the truth, yet grossly misquoted him. He said that Punk was, he said he told Punk that walking out of Night Champions as WWE Champion would define who he is. Then Punk turned into a different guy since then. He said Punk has turned into a mockery frickin' son of a beast thing. Yeah. He said mockery frickin' son of a beast thing.
Boo, PG.
I'm so glad I wasn't around to hear that.
Cole said he actually did... Cena said he did everything he can to keep that PG. And he hopes it was okay. But, you know. Cena guaranteed that he would walk into Hell in a Cell and would fight. Cena started to get all worked up and then was cut off by CM Punk. And, oh my God, CM Punk and the fans. He stared at one red-headed, you know, kid in the audience for a minute or so, and then he goes to slap another young kid, the young kid slapped his hand, and he kept pulling it away slowly and slowly away farther and farther. I thought that was funny.
That was funny. That was brilliant.
Punk said Cena's speech was beautiful. He said that he's heard a lot of politician speeches, and he thinks Cena misses calling. He said Cena should, you know. He said that the character assassination part down, his character assassination part down. He should, you know, be a politician. Punk said he doesn't buy the crap that Cena shovels. Punk said there's only one CM Punk, and Cena knows him well because he's beaten him repeatedly at, you know, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam the last 2 years. He mentioned, you know, his consecutive day streak as WWE champion, and he won't be defeated by a one-armed man. Cena said Punk should shut his mouth and face him at the pay-per-view and see what happens. Punk says it's not fair, and there are others in the back who deserve a shot. Punk said he was going to give Cena a word of advice. Run. I know both of your legs still work. Run while you can. Punk said he was going to turn around and count to five. He said if Cena was still there, he was going to beat him like he's never been beaten by anyone before. Punk said he won't have his integrity called into question. I am the WWE champion and I command respect. And then they said, you have until five. So Heyman and Punk turned around. They counted to five. And then Cena pulled out a pipe and, well, you know it's PG era where he didn't hit him in the head, he hit him in the gut. As CM Punk turned around after he said one.
It was still effective.
Effective, and Cena said, I hope to see you in a Hell in a Cell now. Yeah, I hope to see you at Hell in a Cell. And he also said, now that's what I call a pipe bomb. Thoughts?
It was effective.
Yeah, lead pipe's a lead pipe. I wouldn't expect Cena to go with the cheap weapons, though.
What was kind of, I guess, weird was afterwards he gave the pipe to a fan.
Did he really? Wow. Okay. I missed that.
I'm quite sure it was taken by security very quickly.
Well, he gave it to, like, the kid's mom. Like, he walked over to shake the announcer's hands. And he walked over, he handed the pipe to the kid's mom, and then he shook the announcer's hands, and then he left.
Now don't you go playing up, or else I'll beat your ass like John Cena did.
CM Punk, you know, walked out, walking through the backstage area. Foley was back there. They exchanged for looks. Punk walked back to Mick Foley and said, you know what, Mick? And then kicked him right, you know, in the gut. And walked away. As CM Punk's walking right, he turns around again, started to talk, only to be stopped in his tracks, and his jaw dropped because someone was standing over Foley to protect him. It was Ryback.
The way that Punk reacted, you thought it was somebody like Triple H or Shawn Michaels or something like that, you know, somebody...
From the way Rock was describing it, I suddenly thought The Undertaker.
Yeah. It's like, oh my god.
It's Ryback.
I mean, it was a great sell by CM Punk, but it's just like you were expecting somebody more badass than Ryback.
And that's how Monday Night Raw concluded.
Sounds like it turned to shit after I left.
Pretty much.
Final segment wasn't bad. It's selling the pay-per-view that they have for five more weeks away. So what did everyone think overall? Show? Braves?
Overall, I thought it was good.
A better effort than we've seen lately?
Yeah, fairly solid Raw all around. I mean, good matches, awesome segments.
Yeah, the segments were great tonight. And last week we had no real segments, we had matches. This week we had both sport and entertainment.
Balance? What?
What is that?
I know they're shoving the Anger Buddies down our throats, because they were almost a little overkill Friday, but they had just a right amount of sprinkling of them this week that it worked. And they had... Like you said, they had nice balance this week of all the major storylines going on, so everybody got a good amount of attention.
We started new storylines, and they're progressing.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. It's a good way. It was an effective Raw. I would say, you know, I'd give it a B. But it's been better than, you know, lately.
I agree with that.
It was entertaining, and what more could we ask from our shows at the moment?
This is true.
Yeah. Yeah, solid B+.
By the way, Mace, you missed a great ending to the football game, too.
So I've been hearing.
Green Bay got robbed.
So anyway, that's the Raw post show, everybody. Yeah, we watched.
Yeah, we were sort of distracted in the final hour.
Yeah, we kind of were.
A little bit.
But this is okay. You'll hear all about it this month, this Sunday on WrestleTalk Radio when we, you know, play the interview we conducted tonight with the one, the only, the rated R superstar Edge. Went 30 minutes with Edge.
It was awesome.
And if you listen very closely, you can still hear Lindsay Squee echoing over the wind.
Yes. It was 30 minutes that reeked of awesome.
So you're going to want to check that out this Sunday, live on Wrestle Talk Radio. But tomorrow night's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Logic on the show. Katie Lee Burchill, a.k.a. Winter, will be on the program.
It's no Edge. I'm sorry, we trumped Alan.
Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Jed Schaefer, Scott Barry, and Cheapwood paneling. Remember, hashtag BS2012. Thursday night, Lindsay, it's the
hashtag rack. Mace is not Massive Q.
Hashtag Mace yes. is Massive Q.
I am not. We proved it.
I still don't believe it.
They're not the same person.
Anyway, Lindsay, Thursday, the rack.
Thursday, we talk all about Impact and other shit that we've come up with, plus news and notes of the week. If you want to submit a topic, please do so, because we have no idea what we're going to talk about. So send those to media@wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet them at us, at Linz Ward, LINSWARD. You can send them to Rock, @WildTalkRadio. Please, send us stuff so we can have stuff to talk about.
We're for the fans on the rack, so send in your questions and we'll discuss them on the show this Thursday night, live at 11 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, it's midnight-ish, it's CB Radio, the weird, wacky, the unusual. The countdown to 250 continues this week, will be 247, so you don't want to miss it. And as we said, WrestleTalk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, the rated R superstar, Edge, will be on the program. Don't get any bigger than that. We'll see you next Monday night for another edition of the WTR Raw Post Show live right here on the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.